Good morning. How are you doing? You good? Isn't it exciting to witness another baptism? It fascinates me because there is nothing else on the planet that can transform human life like God does. There's no amount of self-discipline and motivation that can do what you achieve in the baptismal waters with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you've never been baptized, we can do it today. Mark will go and get a new pair of clothes, but he'll dunk you again today. But otherwise, please come and talk to us if you want to get baptized as well. Invite the Lord into your lives and allow him to transform you and bless you. I'm told there was a language class. How many of you speak another language other than English? Quite a lot of you. And do different objects in your language have, are they categorized as feminine and masculine? Yeah? Well, then you're with me. In India, we do that. There was a language class going on, and a dispute broke out. The question was, is a computer male or female? And so the teacher divided all of them sensibly into men and women and asked them to come up with their arguments. The men rightly started off first, and they were categorical that computers should belong to the feminine gender. And this is why. Number one, they said no one but their creator understands their logic. The second one, the native language they use to communicate with other computers is incomprehensible to everyone else. The third one, I like this one. She isn't around, I hope. Even the smallest mistakes are stored in the long-term memory for possible later retrieval. And the fourth one, as soon as you make a commitment to one, you find yourself spending half your salary on the accessories that come with it. Well, as always, the women had the final say. They came together and said absolutely categorically, computers are masculine, and this is why. They said, in order to get their attention, you've got to turn them on. They have a lot of data, but they're still clueless. They're supposed to help you solve problems, but most of the time they are the problem. And then finally, they said, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that if you'd waited a little longer, you'd have got a better model. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 15. We continue with our series on all things are possible. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to preach to you on the topic, Mamre to Hebron, you are called for a purpose. Turn with me, Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 5. I did not give Anna much notice, but she's done it. Look at that. Are we ready to read God's word? Do you mind standing up? Is that okay? Let's stand and let's read God's word together. On the count to three, we read it together. One, two, three. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Amen. Please take your seat. This is the story, dare I use the term, of a gypsy king. Do you know a boxer called a gypsy king? He calls himself that, so we can call him that. But this is the story of a nomad called Abraham who sojourned the lands of the Middle East. And when he was in Iraq, the word of the Lord came to Abraham and said, go to the land that I am going to show you. So Abraham sets off with his nephew Lot. Abraham had no children, did he? So his nephew Lot was pretty much like his son to him. And the story goes on. Mark preached beautifully across these chapters that there was a time he goes into Egypt and he was anxious that the king of Egypt would look at his wife and kill him and take his wife. So he lies, doesn't he? Do you remember that story? And he says, she is my sister. He messes up. And then we come into the next chapter where Lot and Abraham part ways, don't they? That's what Mark preached about last week. And now we come to the following chapters of 14 and 15. It says, after Lot and Abraham parted ways, Abraham went on to live by the trees of Mamre. It's in chapter 14, verse 13, it says, now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite. Did you know? Abraham was on his way to Canaan, wasn't he? But he had settled by the great trees of Mamre. He settled there, he pitched his tent there, and he was living not in Mamre, but near Mamre. The word Mamre, I discovered, means an Amorite. They were a bunch of oak trees, terebinth trees, near the Amorite dwelling place. The word Amorite means bitter, a rebel, a babbler. Are you with me? Abraham is living near a bunch of people who are bitter, who are unhappy, who are complainers, who are negative, who are rebellious. Abraham has made his habitat by these people. He has every reason probably to do that. He set off to the land of Canaan. God gave him promises, but he has seen none of them come to pass. He hasn't seen the land, the promised land God promised him. He has got no children, and the only one whom he considered a child stabbed him in the back, Lot, and took off to the green lands of Sodom. Are you with me? He has every reason to be upset, every reason to be bitter, every reason to complain. How many times do we spend our dwelling near places of bitterness, places of unhappiness, places where we've experienced rejection, places where we've experienced betrayal, places where we have reasons to complain and say, where is my promise? Where is my promise? Where is my promise? I've done it. I have walked. I have come to church. I have done what the good book says. But where is my promise? I do not deserve the betrayal. I do not deserve the rejection. I do not deserve what people have dished out to me. Have you ever lived by the tents of Mamre? This morning, I believe God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to me. Living near places of rejection, bitterness, disappointments. This is a place where Abraham was stuck. Now, to be honest with me, when someone disappoints you immensely, not once, not twice, not thrice, how does that feel? Sometimes my brain gets into a loop. Does yours? when I have some free time, I'm sitting on the tube, somehow my brain drifts to that thought of negativity, that thought of hurt, that thought of rejection, that thought of disappointment. Sometimes I'm lying in bed and this loop is playing in my brain. I focus on the hurt. I focus on the failure. I focus on the rejection. And this is the time the word of the Lord comes to Abram. He was called Abram then. And this is what the Lord says. Hear me out. 15:1, the Lord says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your reward." The Lord says, do not be afraid. The first thing God tells Abram that day is look up. What's the first thing God tells Abram? When you're stuck in Mamre, when you feel that your promises haven't come through, when you feel you've been shortchanged, when you feel you've been hurt, when you feel your expectations haven't been met, when you feel disappointed, the word of the Lord comes to Abram to say, look up to the heavens, look up to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, look up to God. Turn to the other neighbor and say, look up to God. And the Lord says, I am your reward and shield. I've got an iPhone 5S. Anyone willing to pay £200 for it? No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because you've got to charge it at least 5 times a day. After every phone call, I've got to put it to a power bank. Sometimes life is like that, you know? When you live by Mamre, you kind of read your Bible a bit and you say, I'm going to follow the Lord, but your battery drains quickly. Unless you connect back to God, unless you put your connection back to the power bank, unless you look up to God, you will have no power inside you. The bitterness from Mamre is going to come and creep into your life and overcome you and take over even the good bits of your life. Do you know that? Often, Abraham, you have a wonderful family. You've got a lot of things to be happy about. You've got a lot of things to rejoice and celebrate about. But somehow I've allowed the bitterness of Mamre sometimes to overcome and overpower everything I have. The word of the Lord is clear. Connect back to God. Connect back to God. Connect back to God. Recharge. Plug back in. And God says, I am your reward. How cool is that? He's not telling you, I'm going to give you a good job. I'm going to give you a good wife. I'm going to give you a good husband. I'm going to give you a lot of money, but he's giving you the entire bank. Hey, he's saying, I, in me and through me, everything lives and has its being. I am your reward. Stop begging for pittance when I'm willing to give you myself. Are you listening to me? You are grumbling, you're complaining, you're upset over something really small when I am standing in front of you with the abundance of heaven. You are stuck in a loop in complaining and bitterness and groaning when the abundance of heaven is right next door and you somehow want to call it even with Lot. God's saying, let go, I've got Canaan for you. Let go, I've got Isaac for you. Let go, I've got the stars of the sky for you. Hebrews chapter 12 says, fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith. Fix your eyes. You know what it means? It just means take your focus off Mamre and fix it back on Jesus. How does that work? This week I've had lots of things that didn't go right. Have you? And then my brain likes to chew on it. It's like a party. Nobody knows. It's like, shall I say it? It's like picking your nose when you do it when nobody's looking. You kind of chew over all these rotten things. Ah, he didn't text me back. He didn't call me. He didn't do that. She didn't do this. Oh, yeah. This, that, and everything. And you know, you catch yourself drifting towards the tents of Mamre. And then I have to tell myself, I want to focus back on Jesus. I found simple ways of doing this now. Yesterday evening, I felt my mind is drifting. I told Bev, 8:30 in the evening, I'm going for a run. And as I run, with every breath I take, I'm saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. With every breath, I want to focus my eyes on the author and the perfecter of my faith. Sometimes I'm lying in bed anxious about something and I tell myself, I want to fix my eyes on Jesus. Sometimes I just put a music CD on. I sometimes put Spotify on. Sometimes I just allow a sermon to wash over me. But I want to fix my eyes away from Mamre and I want to focus on Jesus. It is a choice I make. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you find yourself by the tents of Mamre, may I invite you to make a conscious decision to fix your eyes on Jesus. And if you're anything like me and my iPhone 5C, you need to do that several times a day. Are you with me? Just because you did it in the morning and you think by breakfast you've run out of charge, do something to fix your eyes back on Jesus. Would you do that? The first takeaway you have this morning is look up to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And you've got to let go of some things. Are you with me? You've got to let go of things that you need to let go. So it's look up and let go. They messed you about, let it go. He is taking, she is taking what is mine, let them take it. Hold on lightly to your ego, to your pride, and to the material wealth God has given you. Are you listening to me? But hold tightly to the things of God. Hold tightly to the presence of God. Hold tightly to the promises of God. Hold lightly your ego. I've got a problem with ego. Have you? Sometimes I take offense. And I'm like, who am I to take that offense? What's the big deal? Let it go. There is. Sometimes we live as if we are making all this thing happen. Yeah. If I'm not there, my workplace is going to collapse. Church, Hope Church is going to collapse. Kids' work is going to collapse. Youth ministry is going to collapse. My family. No. That's just my fluffed up ego. It is God who runs the show. Are you with me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got to let go of my ego. If there is some offense there, somebody hurt me, somebody didn't say thank you, somebody didn't say good morning, let it go. Who am I? I am what God has made me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes our pride gets in the way. You know, if somebody took something that was mine, material or something else, it wasn't mine in the first place, was it? I only had it because God gave it to me. If they took it, there's plenty more where it came from because the Lord is my reward, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord is my reward. Graham prayed over me this morning and he prayed over a poverty mindset where you've got to scrabble and you've got to fight for the scraps as if, oh, no, there's not enough in the pot. I've got to scrap. I've got to get it before you get it. There's plenty in the pot. The Lord is your reward. If you rely on yourself, you've got to scrap for the rubbish. You've got to stay in the gutter and fight it out. This morning, God is saying, I am your reward. I am your shield. You've got a shield that is the size of the Almighty God. If somebody says some rubbish about you, if they backbite about you, if they backstab you, I've got a shield that is the size of an eternal God, ladies and gentlemen. Let it go. It's not worth it. I'm going to hold tight to the things of God. I'm going to hold tight to the word of God. I'm going to hold tight to the presence of God. I'm going to hold tight to the promises of God. Will you join with me? Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord, Father, we are ready to look up. We are ready to look up, not as a ritual, not as a religious act, but as a choice, time and again, time and again, time and again, because we want to be a people who fix our eyes on the author and the perfecter of our faith. And this is what shocked me. Hear me out. Mamre, what does it mean? Bitterness, negativity, rejection, rebellion. Did you know that region eventually became known as Hebron, the place of the Hebrews, the place where God's presence dwells? Are you listening to me? Abraham could have plugged into Mamre, but he stayed near Mamre and he turned it around into a place where the presence of God dwells, ladies and gentlemen. You can turn your Mamres into Hebron. You can turn your bitterness into praise. You can turn your poverty, hallelujah, into the abundance of God. If only you're willing to let go of the Mamre, God's presence is right here, right now to tell you, I am your reward and your shield, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let go of little bits. Let go. Let go. Let go. Make a decision this morning to say, I want you more than that little squabble I have with Lot. I want your presence to flood this place. I want your presence to flood my relationships. I want your presence to flood my workspace. I want Hebron. I want Hebron. I want my place to become a Hebron, a place where the presence of God dwells. That's where King David was anointed. That's where, hallelujah, Mamre was the capital of Israel. That's where the presence of God dwelt, ladies and gentlemen. This morning, if you're stuck in Mamre, look up, look up, look up, look up, look up. The second thing. Verses 5 and 6. If you have your Bibles, these days you bring phones, I know. So look to your phone if you can. But the Word of God is important. Get used to looking at the Word of God. Yeah, that's good enough too. That's good enough too. Let's read this. He took him outside and he told him to look up at the heavens. Number one is look up to God and count the stars. This thing keeps falling off. Am I doing this right, Mark? And he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. What did God say? If you can count them, so shall your offspring be. Now, this guy is almost 100 years old by the time he gets a kid. God is talking about just the absolute impossible here. Are you listening to me? God is talking about the absolute improbability to Abraham. What he is saying to Abraham is, if you're going to walk with me, I need you to look out for miracles. Hallelujah. Number one, look up to God. Number two, Abram, I want you to just get used to looking out for miracles in your life. Because as the stars of the sky, so shall your offspring be. And the Bible says, Abram believed. Are you listening? Sometimes we're skeptics, aren't we? Mark and I went to Enfield Church the other day, where a man of God came from India and he was preaching the gospel and there were signs and wonders. And my brain couldn't just, you know, resist checking out. Is this right? Does this work out? Did that really happen? Does he have an earpiece somewhere in his ear where somebody's... Do you see what I mean? Are you there with me sometimes? But Abram wasn't there. The minute God said to him, so shall your offspring be, the next response from Abram is, and he believed. Look out for miracles. Look out for miracles. Albert Einstein said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is. Albert Einstein said, there are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle, and the other is as though everything is a miracle from God. What is a miracle? Wikipedia defines it as an unexpected event because of divine intervention. Or it says a coincidence of some sort, a fortuitous event, a statistically unlikely event that is beneficial but just happened to happen. Are you listening to me? Escaping a life-threatening situation, beating some odds. And it goes on to say things that you sometimes call coincidences. How many of you have had some of these in your life? Now, when God is talking to Abram, listen to me. Listen to me. Was Isaac the only miracle in Abram's life? How would you categorize this? An idol maker in Mesopotamia, while he's making idols, hears the voice of God. What would you call that? He then continues to hear the voice of God directing him to places that he must go. He gets stuck in a country where he's messed up with a Pharaoh. And when he should deserve death, the Pharaoh sends him away with abundance of riches. Would you count that a coincidence? A fortuitous event? Chapter 14. Five kings come against four kings of Sodom. They invade Sodom, take Lot and his family away. Abram goes and defeats these five kings with 318 men. An statistically improbable event. God had brought Abram to a place where he had learned to recognize the hand of God in the ordinary day-to-day situations of life. Ladies and gentlemen, have you learned to recognize the hand of God in your ordinary day-to-day situations of your life? God's challenge to Abram was, I am constantly engaging in your world. I'm constantly doing things. I'm constantly coming and speaking to you. Are you listening to me? Are you recognizing it? Sometimes our minds are focused that someday I'm going to get an Isaac. And so my eyes are only tuned into Isaac. God's having a whole blast of fireworks on this side, but I'm oblivious to it. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. The Lord says, unless you catch these fireworks and the magnitude keeps going up, you will never get to Isaac unless you catch these fireworks at this end of the spectrum. Your faith will never grow to the extent where you can stand up and get the Isaac and the promised land that I have kept for you. Look out for miracles, ladies and gentlemen. Look out for miracles. Emerson said, the invariable mark of wisdom is to see the miraculous in the everyday of life. Someone else said, I'm realistic. I expect miracles. I'm realistic. I expect miracles. Think with me. Look back at your life. Pause for a moment. Excuse me. My mother told me that my birth was a miracle. My mother told me that I should have died at birth. Do you remember your childhood? Can you think of events that happened in your life where you just wondered, what was that? I'm a village boy from India. Hardly got any A-levels. Hardly got any GCSEs. My school teachers told me, you will amount to nothing. I went for a job interview that they did not give me until I heard an audible voice of God saying, I've commanded them to give you the job. Have you got stories like these? Haven't you? I remember on the Himalayan ranges, I was a part of a Bible school. We were doing missionaries and riding a motorbike on the mountains. And with another pastor colleague of mine, we crashed into a cyclist. And it was really bad. And in India, they normally beat you up if you do something like that. It wasn't our fault. A motorway somebody crossed without warning. They normally beat you up. Somehow, somebody protected us that day. I had no money. I prayed for everything. I couldn't fix my motorbike because there's no money. I don't have any money. Unless I fix my motorbike, I can't get back to base. Out of the blue, a stranger walks up to me and gives me 5,000 rupees. Those days, my salary must have been 2,000 rupees a month. So somebody pretty much gives me 2.5 times my salary as cash into my hand. He's a random stranger. What do you call that? Ladies and gentlemen, you've got stories of your own. You've got stories of your own. I need you to start catching the hand of God in the ordinary situations of your life and sharing testimony. The other day at my community group, I love to hear Kadri and Felix's stories a lot of times. They were telling us of their story of how God brought them together. Across this entire auditorium, I know you are full of stories of divine intervention. The second charge to us this morning is, this year, your life is going to be full of miracles. The Lord said to me earlier on this year, I was standing in a TK Maxx, and the Lord started speaking to me, and I started writing down on my notes. And that's how Mark and I started praying, and we started with this preaching series, All Things Are Possible. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me, this year will be full of miracles. This year will be full of miracles. This year will be full of miracles. Situations where you see the hand of God in your ordinary circumstances of life. As long as you are willing to stand up and talk like Abraham, to say, I believe, I believe, I believe. If you say, I am there with you, Lord, the Lord promises you, if you look out for miracles, I am here, I'm right here to deliver what I promised to give you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you ready to receive miracles from the Lord? Have you got the faith to say, if my God said it, he will? This morning you may be stuck in Mamre. This morning you may be stuck in a place of bitterness, unhappiness, confusion. But the Lord says, look up. Number two, he says, look out for miracles. And let me end here. It's good enough, you'd say, for God to say all these things, but where is the promise? Now, let me just recount to you the story, and we'll finish here. I'll tell you the story. After that, God tells Abram, to take 5 animals. Yeah, if you read the rest of chapter 15, he asks him to cut it into half and put one half of an animal on one side and the other half on the other side. Have you read this one? I generally gloss over it. Makes no sense to me. How rubbish is that? But I now discovered in the olden times, when they needed to make a covenant, there were no contracts. Yeah? The way to sign a contract, Ian, I'm selling this property to you, is by putting 2 animals, cutting them into half, and then Ian and I walking together between these 2 animals that were cut to say, Ian, if I renege on my oath, let the same fate as these animals befall upon me. It's pretty big, isn't it? And also, when kings warred against each other, if Marvin wins over me, Marvin is the victorious king, Marvin would require me to slay these animals and, bound by my hands, walk between these animals to say, Marvin, this is my blood oath to you. I am your slave. Cursed be my life, like these animals, if I renege on my oath. Are you with me? Now, that's what is happening here. Now, the story goes on to say, Abraham puts these animals down. Some vultures are trying to eat these animals. Abraham's trying to poke them away to say, shoo, 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 go away, shoo, 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 go away. And at some point, Abraham falls asleep. In this story, Abraham is the one who has made the mistake. He's the one who screwed up a million times. He's the vassal. He's the one who has messed up. Abram's the one who should walk between the animals and say, may the same fate befall me. But in this story, the reverse happens. It is the God of heaven who walks between these animals and says to Abram, to say, Abram, I know you don't have the ability to keep the covenant. I know you don't have the ability to walk righteously before me. I know there is no way you can promise me anything. And so I am taking your curse on me. And I am walking this blood oath on your behalf. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the story of the cross. That is the picture of the cross, where the God of heaven comes down and says that there is no one that is righteous. I know there is no way you can live up to the standards of heaven. I know there is no way your sins can be washed away. And so I take your punishment. I take your curse. I take your failure, and I take it upon myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the God of the Bible. He says, I am the one who's making the covenant to you. Hallelujah. 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 He says, I am the one who is making the covenant to you. He's saying there is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. He says, all I expect you to do like Abram is to say, I believe and I will do the rest of the things. Because I know you don't have the capacity or the ability to do it. I will walk with you. Which is why you and I can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It is why I can look to the cross and say, Satan, back off. Hallelujah. When temptation comes, I can take my eyes off and fix it on Jesus. I can go for a run and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, because Jesus paid for it. Satan, you've got to back off. Habit, you've got to break. Addiction, you've got to break. Poverty mentality, you've got to break. Victim mentality, you've got to break. I am called to be victorious in Jesus. I know I have no ability. I know I don't have the qualifications. I know I don't have the credentials. But because my master walked, hallelujah, on the cross, because my master paid for it on the cross, I am set free. Hallelujah. 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 Band, would you come forward this morning? Ladies and gentlemen, we celebrate a God who invites us to live by his promises. Three things I want you to take home with you. Number one, look up to God. Number two, what was number two? Look out for. And number three, live by his promises. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the three points. Number one, look up to God. Number two, look out for miracles. Number three, live by his promises. Would you stand with me before the presence of God? The message the Lord gave me is that you are in Mamre right now. You're in a place of confusion. You're in a place of anxiety. You are in a place of complaining. You're in a place of bitterness. But God wants to take you to Hebron. Hallelujah. God wants to turn your Mamre into Hebron. God can turn your circumstance by His presence this morning. Would you receive it? Would you look up to God this morning and say, Father, I want to fix my eyes on You. I choose to focus on You and not on my problem, not on my anxiety, not on my disappointment. I choose to focus on You. Would you tell the Lord, I'm going to look out for miracles because You said it. I'm going to look out for miracles. And would you tell the Lord, I'm going to live by Your promises this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your Mamre is going to turn into Hebron. Your complaining is going to turn into praise. Hallelujah. Your problem is a situation for a miracle. Hallelujah. Your anxiety is a place for God's promise. Let's worship the Lord. Let's invite Him into our midst. Don't go this morning, hallelujah, without inviting God's presence into your life. And I know this is going to be an amazing year for you. Unexpected things are coming your way. When God's presence comes, His provision comes. Hallelujah. His purposes come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The enemy backs off. So people of God, this is the time to celebrate. Let's sing out to the Lord and say, like Abraham, I believe, I am ready, and I want what You have for me, Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless you with these words.